Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
I trust you had a good Thanksgiving. Who had a good Thanksgiving? Yes, we all did. Who ate too much? Oh, yeah. That's what it's all about. And we had a great all-church Thanksgiving dinner last Sunday. It was amazing. We had a wonderful concert of praise and thanksgiving last week. Thank you, everyone who was a part of that. So this is what we are like before Thanksgiving. So this is before Thanksgiving. And this is what we're like after Thanksgiving. Yeah, that's what I'm feeling this morning. So turn in your New Testaments to Galatians chapter 4 on this first Sunday of Advent in a sermon series that I'm going to be speaking on during this series of Advent that I'm calling What Makes It the Most Wonderful Time of the Year? And Galatians chapter 4 is a good place for us to start. So let's give our attention to the Apostle Paul and the incredible truth that he highlights here for us. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. What I am saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave. Although he owns the whole estate, he is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons and daughters, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father, so that you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Go back to verse 4. But when the time had fully come. Other translations translate that phrase as in the fullness of time. When the fullness of time has come. Or when the right time came. At just the right time. God sent his son. Almighty God, as we begin this first Sunday of Advent, we are filled with such hope. The hope and the promise of your redemption that at just the right time, you sent your son, born of a woman, to redeem us from the law of sin and death, and to set us on a new path and to give us hope and to redeem us from the bondage of sin and darkness. We thank you and we praise you and we give you honor that at just the right time you fulfilled your promise to redeem humanity. And we say thanks be to God. And all God's people said, Amen.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. With those holidays. birthday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time. Yes, the most wonderful time.
Awesome, right? What a great Christmas song. That's a classic. Andy Williams, came out in 1963. It's the most wonderful time of the year. I love that Christmas song. Anyone else love that song? Yeah, it's a great song. Most wonderful time of the year. Well, I got to thinking, what makes it the most wonderful time of the year? Is it, as he sings, the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer? Is that what makes it the most wonderful time of the year? Well, I think that's a big part of it. It really is the most wonderful time of the year. And my prayer for you, as we are beginning this season of Advent, is that this truly will be a special time of year for you, for your family, that it'll be a meaningful time, a special time, a time of your family coming closer together and really enjoying each other. But the reality is, for many, this is not the most wonderful time of the year. The reality is that for many people, this is the opposite of the most wonderful time of the year. I saw a statistic the other day that said 64% of people who are already struggling will have even more difficulties during the holidays. That's a pretty significant percentage. Over half of people who are already struggling with anxiety or depression or sadness will struggle even more in the next several weeks. And so we want to be mindful of that. And I want you to know that I realize that if this statistic is correct, that over half of you, if you're already dealing with issues of sadness or depression or anxiety, that these next couple of weeks may not be the most wonderful time of the year. And I want our church to be a safe place for you. I want our church to be a place where you can just be yourself and find respite and sanctuary in God's presence, even though things may not be going well for you. But from a biblical perspective, this is the most wonderful time of the year. You've heard the phrase that timing is everything. Well, I want to share with you today that God's timing is everything. God knows what He's doing. And in His wisdom, as He looks down and He sees all of time, for God is outside of time. He actually, I think, embodies the fullness of time. As he sees our world from beginning to end, the Apostle Paul tells us here in Galatians 4:4 that at just the right time, God knew exactly when to intervene in our history and give of himself in the baby Jesus, born of Mary, to come into our broken world and be born in a manger in Bethlehem. At just the right time, God knew what he was doing. What makes this the most wonderful time of the year is that God's timing is everything. He knows exactly what he's doing. Now, the Bible is the story of salvation history from beginning to end. What do I mean by that? Well, as you read the Old Testament, there are these great stories of how God steps in and saves and delivers his people. There's all these little micro stories all throughout the Old Testament. Let me give you just a couple of examples. Noah. You know the story of Noah. You know that God was very displeased with how things were going in the world and the flood and all that. But through God's graciousness, he instructed Noah to build the ark, and God saved Noah and his family. Great story of salvation, how God saved Noah and his family. The story of Isaac. You know, remember Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac, and right at the very end, Abraham was going to do the unthinkable, when at just the right time, God stepped in and provided the sacrifice. And so that's another great story in Genesis chapter 22 of how God stepped in and saved Isaac. The story of Lot. Remember, Lot and his family were living in Sodom and Gomorrah and the wickedness there. And God said, I got to destroy these cities because I can't find, you know, any righteous people. Lot and his wife were on their way out. His wife turned and looked back, and she wasn't supposed to, which was unfortunate for her. But God saved Lot and the rest of his family, and it's another neat story of salvation. The story of Joseph. You remember the story of Joseph and how his father loved him more than his brothers and gave him this fancy coat and, you know, doted on him, and his brothers conspired and were going to kill him, but then they said no, and they beat him up, and they took his coat, and they threw him in a well, and then they sold him to some gypsies, but God ended up saving Joseph. It's a great story of God's salvation, how God stepped in and delivered Joseph. Story of Moses and how God saved his people from Egypt. It's one of the greatest stories in the history of the Israelites, how God delivered the Israelites out of Egypt. You remember that story, and that's an annual celebration even to this very day for Jews. It's another great story. The story of how God delivered the Israelites from the Philistines. You remember that? A little shepherd boy named David with his sling and stones took down the giant Goliath. That's a great story of God intervening and saving his people at just the right time. The story of Daniel and the lion's den. That's a great story, right? How God saved Daniel from those ferocious lions. And his buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How God saved them from the fiery furnace. It's a great story of God's salvation. All these stories, and there's so many more, are just one account after another of how God steps in and saves his people. And then we get to the New Testament. And at just the right time, at just the right time, God enacts his greatest rescue plan ever. Because this salvation story doesn't just involve his chosen people. This salvation story is for the entire world. Joy to the world. And Paul tells us here and reminds us that at just the right time, not centuries earlier, not centuries later, not decades earlier, not decades later, not a year earlier, not a year later, not a day earlier, not a day later, but at just the right time, in God's perfect timing, He enacted the greatest rescue plan in history to save the world, which includes you and I and our neighbors and our friends and our family and even our enemies. At just the right time, God sent His Son, Jesus, to be born of a woman, to be born in Bethlehem. God's timing is everything. As God is looking down from heaven and He sees the panorama of history, He knows exactly what He's doing, and He knew exactly when to enact this plan, and He did it at just the right time. I'm going to say in church, I can't believe I'm even going to say this, I'm going to say a four-letter word in church. It's probably the dirtiest four-letter word ever. It may upset you so much you may end up getting up and walking out of church. But I'm going to say it anyway. Ready? Oh, it's a filthy four-letter word. Here it goes. It's the word wait. Oh, we hate that word. I need to wash my mouth out with soap after saying that. Wait. W-A-I-T. We hate to wait. Right? We hate it. Nobody likes to wait. We want what we want now, and we want it quickly. Why do I have to wait on God? Why do I have to wait on this? Why do I have to wait on that? We hate to wait. It rubs us the wrong way. It goes against every fiber of who we are. We want what we want. I heard a story just last week of this lady who ordered a hamburger at McDonald's. And the poor gal, just doing her job, served her the wrong sandwich. The lady was so upset that she couldn't wait for them to remake her sandwich correctly that she slapped this poor gal behind the counter. We hate to wait. We want things now, and we want them right, and we want them on the spot. We hate to wait. It is a terrible four-letter word. I mean, what little kid wants to wait until Christmas Day to open their gifts, right? It's terrible. And it's not just little kids. We adults suffer from the same dilemma. We want what we want, and we want it now. And so waiting on God can be very, very difficult. The people in the Old Testament had to wait for this coming Messiah. And they waited and they waited and they waited for decades, for centuries. God, when are you going to send this promised Messiah who will redeem us? And now that Christ has come, here we are 2,000 years later, and we're saying, God, when are you going to send the Son again to come and make everything right as you've promised in the Scriptures? We hate to wait. And you may be going through things in your own life, and you're waiting, and you're wondering, and you're saying, when are things going to happen? I've been waiting so long for this to happen in my life, and things aren't happening, God. What's going on with your timing? Things are off between you and me, God. And we get frustrated and we get discouraged and we get disappointed. I know you feel that way because I feel that way in my own life. There are things in my own life that I'm waiting for God to intervene. And I keep saying, God, why is not this happening? Or why is not that happening? And we get frustrated with God's timing or His lack of timing. And it's hard for us to wait. It's a horrible four-letter word. And we need to be reminded today that God's timing is perfect. He sees the beginning and the end. He sees the story of your life. He knows where you've been. He knows where you're going. He sees right where you're at right now. He knows when to intervene. He knows when to pull back. And we've got to trust in the providence and goodness of God that He knows what He's doing, because God's timing is everything. Not only is God's timing everything, but every detail that God does is perfect. So at just the right time, when God sent His Son, He knew exactly in what culture and in what place and in what manner and in what means. All these details God knew. It doesn't make sense to us. I mean, if I was God, I certainly would not have enacted this little baby born in a manger in Bethlehem plan with all the upheaval going on. By the way, the Christmas story in the Bible is not as cut and dry as to make it out to be. There's a lot of upheaval going on. Mary and Joseph going to the census and there's no place to stay, and there's hustle and bustle, and she's in labor, and then Herod decides to kill all these babies, and it's a messy story. And yet God knew exactly how to enact this plan at just the right time, in just the right place, in just the right way, using just the right means. And you know what? It all worked out. In the messiness of it all, it all worked out. And God's going to work out those details in your life as well. Whatever it is you're waiting for, whatever it is you're internally struggling with, God, I'm going to trust you enough to wait on you to move and act and work on my behalf. But I get it. It's hard. It's hard for us to wait. And it certainly tries our patience. Isaiah chapter 40, our words of hope for you today. If you're in this time of waiting and in between and you're not sure what's going on in your life, and life is kind of messy and there's uncertainty, Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord, other translations may say, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow faint. They will walk and not be weary. Wait on Him. I know often it's hard, and sometimes we question God's timing. We question His plan. We question whether or not He even hears, knows, cares, or understands. But I want to remind you today that God's timing is everything. You know the name Winston Churchill. You know he was one of the greatest leaders of the 20th century. You know how God used him in a mighty way. You may not know that he reached the height of his political power in Britain very early in his career. By the age of 33, he was a cabinet minister and one of the nation's most popular speakers. But through a series of events and unpopular positions, Churchill lost his political standing and really became subject to ridicule and rejection. By the early 1930s, he had been excluded from the seats of power. Churchill's prophetic warnings about Hitler were in large part ignored by the English public, that preferred to hear words of comfort and peace instead. But when Britain was plunged into World War II, Churchill was already 65 years of age. But that is when the nation began to take heed of his words and warning again. And he became the prime minister who inspired the British people to remain firm during some of their darkest days in the war. And that story reminds me that you may feel like you're in a place where you're not being heard or useful or understood. But there is coming a time when God will redeem all that and use you and bless you and inspire you and fill you and give you the hope that you need, for God's timing is indeed perfect. What makes this the most wonderful time of the year? It's that God made this the most wonderful time of the year. At just the right time, he intervened in history, and whether you recognize it or not, he is intervening in your life. Just wait on him. Wait on him. Give your cares, your anxieties, your worries, your health, your hopes, your fears, your dreams, your anxieties, give it all to him. And he will redeem it all. That's who God is. That's what he does. For he indeed is a good God. And so on this first Sunday of Advent, I want us to be cognizant of the fact that God knows exactly what he's doing. And at times it may not feel like it, but you're here, which tells me you have hope in him. Keep that hope alive in him. Too many people have given up on God, unfortunately. God has not given up on us, and he is not giving up on you. And so as we prepare for this season of Advent, turn in your hymnals to responsive reading 158, and we will read together of the coming of our Lord at just the right time. Not a day late, not a day too soon. At just the right time, God came and enacted the greatest salvation rescue plan in history.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.